The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, for the next 2.5 hours, where he'll join us at 9. Thursday morning, coming off a 3-2 loss last night in Colorado. And I don't know. I'm torn on this thing. I guess if you have a jersey on for a team, then and you interfere, then it costs your team. But what if you're smart and you're a fan of the Rockies, and you wear an Astros jersey, and you interfere and destroy a play, then what? You can ruin the Astros' chances to win by disguising. And this has happened in war before, where you put on the other uniform. I've seen it. Okay, have you not seen movie The Dirty Dozen? Did anybody ever see The Dirty Dozen?
I did not see The Dirty Dozen.
You've never seen The Dirty Dozen?
I never saw it.
It's a really good, great movie.
There's a lot of classic movies I never saw.
Oh.
I mean, I've seen a ton of movies, but classic movies are movies I just haven't watched.
Well, you gotta. It's great.
Wasn't there a remake? Did I see a remake? I saw Hateful Eight by Tarantino.
Hateful Eight's different. But The Dirty Dozen is good. Breakfast at Tiffany's, I've never seen because it looks racist to me. So I'm not going to watch that.
It just seems like a girl's having breakfast somewhere.
No, it seems like Mickey Rooney.
Oh, that's the Mickey Rooney one. All right, never mind.
That doesn't seem at all.
So that doesn't seem.
That doesn't play in 2018. But neither does interfering with a ball. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Bregman at the plate. The Astros up 2-1. Mm-hmm. They would have gone. He hits one that's at the wall. Fan reaches over, interferes. Left fielder's jumping and falling backwards. No chance to make that catch. Zero chance.
Not according to that left fielder.
Yeah, well, that left fielder's stupid.
He said he had a bead on it.
Yeah, he had a bead on it. There's absolutely no chance he catches that ball. Bregman ends up on third. They go back, look at it. Fan interference. He reached over the wall. Has an Astros jersey on. But again, I ask you, what if he's a plant? What if he is really a Rockies fan and he says, I'm going to interfere with this play and take away any chance the Astros have a win?
So what's your what do you think his pathology was? You think he you think he bought a jersey, or does he have a jersey of every team that comes in and he wears a jersey for every series just in case something like this could happen?
Yeah.
Well, you know what didn't happen is he didn't. I mean, in that play, it never touch the glove of the fan in the first place. So what exactly is the interference call? Because he's reaching over the line?
Well, I thought he did touch. He did touch
there
it.
You thought so?
Yeah.
Deflection.
It appeared that he did deflect it just a hair. It appeared that he deflected it. To me, it did. I don't know. But
as you mentioned, it had no impact on
him. How did Alex Bregman take this, Del?
Well, I'm sure he took it pretty well, right? He seems like the type.
Let
who
me.
Would...
Can I want to guess. Do you have sound?
Yeah.
All right. I want to guess what he said. Knowing Bregman and his attitude, which is he's pretty calm, he's fairly reserved, and he respects. I think he's going to respect the umpire's calls. He's going to say, "Look, it hurt us, but at the same time, this is part of the game, and I respect the rules of the game." And then sometimes, you know, they're going to work in your favor and sometimes they won't. But I respect the job the umpire did. And I just want to say that, you know, I think at some point it's going to work out in my favor, too. And that's the breaks. But, you know, solid job by the ump crew this week. I just got to give it up to them.
That's probably what he said. But here's actually what he said.
How frustrating was this night, you know, specifically the ball you hit to left field?
Yeah. Joke, and they should be ashamed of themselves. Obviously, the guy has never played baseball before in his life. The guy in charge of whoever made that decision, because there is no possible way that you can say that a left fielder jumping backwards into a wall is guaranteed to make a catch. Change the whole game. We're up 2-1 at the time. I'm in third base. We need a fly ball to the outfield to get me in, and it's 3-1. It's horrible.
How many did we count? How many F bombs he dropped in there?
There was four. No,
4 or 5.
Yeah, at
least. Can we hear it again so we can?
Well, he had 3 early ones, and then I thought he had 1 late. Was it too late?
I thought he had 2 late. This is the controversy here. How many F-bombs can you drop in one sentence in a press conference? Ready? Go. Oh, we got to wait just a second. It's rebuffing.
Frustrating was this night, specifically the ball you hit to left field.
Yeah. It was a joke, and they should be ashamed of themselves. Obviously, the guy has never played baseball before in his life. The guy in charge of whoever made that decision, because there is no possible way that you can say that a left fielder jumping backwards into a wall is guaranteed to make a catch. Change the whole game. We're up 2-1 at the time. I'm at third base. We need a fly ball to the outfield to get me in, and it's 3-1. It's horrible.
Okay, 5. It's 5.
Now
it's officially 5.
Now, can you? Now there weren't a lot of hits last night for the Astros.
No, but it was a win.
They were all very important. Any potential hit was a very important one. The bats didn't get a whole lot going in that one, but that is a W if they get that. As it stands, they obviously lost in the ninth. Colin McHugh picks up loss, gives up the home run, but. That was a big one. That's one of those that you don't even have to know the rules of baseball to know. You've seen that a million times. Fan reaches. How is that? By the way, how is that not considered? If it's fan interference, how is it not considered a double? How do they not just say fan interference? We'll turn this into a double.
It's an automatic out now.
But if
the ball's in the stands, fan has. But if the fan interferes, it's an out.
When did it become an automatic?
Well, what if it was a Colorado fan? If it's a Colorado fan that reaches over and tries to get it, what happens to Bregman?
Yeah. That's a good point, because then the fans are helping.
Yeah.
Do they differentiate?
Yes, I think they do. Fan? And that's where
Are we sure? Because if the guy was just wearing a white T-shirt, what are they going to say? Neutral fan? Or are they just going to assume he's a Colorado fan? What are they going to do?
I guess they're going to assume he's a Colorado fan.
Automatic out.
It's not. It can't be an automatic out. You can't. Your own fans can do that the whole game.
The rule's got to be different than that, where you just try to judge based on the fan's shirt whether they're out or not.
Well, that's the case. It's got to be the rule.
Can't be the rule.
It's got to.
Where they judge, like, were you trying to help your team or hurt your team? That can't be the rule.
By the way, now that this is an issue with the Astros, you see how many fans were there?
A ton.
Yeah.
Astros fans, this is now, what, the second game in a row you've heard a ton of Astros fans. Like, that was a big, big deal how many Astros fans swarmed out there.
Yeah. I mean, it was...
They're the Rockies. What? That's random. The Rockies. Why that game?
I don't know. I think there might be a lot of people from Houston that go up to Colorado in the summer.
Do they travel? Do they live abroad? Or they're new Astros fans? Like, what? How's this working? First of all, I can tell you this. In all my travels, anybody that is from Houston is now an Astros fan abroad. That's a lock. You go anywhere to any state, and if you're from Houston, and maybe even from Texas, but specifically from Houston, people now have Astros hats. I saw it happen. Well, it was Eric Bruntlett's brother, I think, I ran into the other day. I was out of town, and... There was Eric Bruntlett's brother. He's allowed to have an Astro stuff on.
Yeah.
Would you wear Philly stuff or Astro stuff? Which one?
What the hell?
Would you wear Philly stuff or Astro stuff?
Come on. That's silly.
But there's a lot of Astros gear. People are representing. It's easy to represent a winner, especially if you're from Houston. That's your Houston pride. Even if you weren't wearing Astro stuff previously, you will now.
Well, and
if you're a fake-ass new Astro fan, that's why.
Yeah, well, Astros Twitter feed, they see those people, they're going to hashtag them physically. I mean, they'll verbally assault them.
Yeah, and then there's
through 140 to 280 characters at a time.
Yeah, and then there's the instant replay. Let's get Jeff in here. He's our first caller of the day again. He starts the show every morning.
He's our leadoff hitter.
He is our leadoff hitter. He's our springer, and he knocks it out of the park quite often. Jeff,
hey guys.
What about this instant replay?
So I don't know why the only sport that kind of doesn't need it gets replay right, tennis. The ball goes a million miles an hour, yet they can predict where the ball goes within the millimeter. Why doesn't baseball have that? Because Parra clearly overshot the ball. If you look on replay, they actually even had it on Get Up. Surprisingly, that TV show did something right. Parra overshot the ball by about a foot. And then also, people forget, when you bang into the wall, there's a 50-50 chance when you're going a million miles per hour and you bang into the wall, you're going to drop that ball too. But tennis technology needs to be applied to baseball, in my opinion, so they can see if the interference really affected it or not. And I'll let y'all talk about that.
Yeah.
We don't need tennis replay. All Major League Baseball games, video games have that type of stuff where there's a fly ball and you have to park under it. And there's like this kind of radar thing that as it comes down, it kind of gets more defined about where it lands. Video games have been doing that for years. Now, I don't know how it applies to an actual sport. But I don't know if baseball would look to
Do tennis balls have some kind of chip in them?
Tennis balls probably do. It's what it probably is the same. So basketball has this too. It's called Sport View. That's the specific cameras where it was Israeli missile tracking stuff. And so they can track. I've seen it with football. They use it in basketball. I'm sure it's something like that they can track. It slows it down to one thousandth of a second. That's all tennis is it's just tracking and just slowing down the spot. But I don't think baseball – I'm not sure that would have a big impact. You're talking about in baseball, you have to have tags that are available. You have to – I mean, it's a little different than just determining a line in or out. I guess it depends on the instant replay you're talking about.
Yeah. If you guys were watching the Open Championship last week –
Did somebody snitch?
Robert Watson Watt is the actual inventor of radar, and he's from Scotland, and there's a statue of him not far from Carnoustie. And you guys would have learned a little something about history there if you had watched the Open.
Did they say it in the last round?
They didn't. I think it might have been in the second round, which everybody was glued in.
I didn't hear it in the last round when I was watching.
Right.
Well, did they say it when Tiger was in the hunt?
Tiger was in the hunt all weekend, Lance.
Well, but...
Oh, that was a Friday, though, right?
When they said it? Like he was more in the real hunt
on Sunday.
Later on. Yeah. I always like for him to make cuts first.
Well, he made the cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was there on Sunday,
and then after
so
round
he
three,
made the cut.
But round three, he was for sure in the hunt.
He had a huge round.
But wasn't the info dropped on a Friday, when we're still worried about Tiger making?
Yeah.
Is that like a tree in the woods kind of thing?
Yeah, you can't say stuff on
that's not a tree in the woods. I saw it. And meant in millions and billions.
Because you're a squirrel in the forest, that's why.
Billions and billions of people saw it. Because billions upon billions.
Billions of people. So I thought you were going to say, hey, did you watch the Open Championship? Somebody called from their house and snitched on a golfer.
No, you can't do that anymore. By the way, it's against the rules now. We're not taking those calls anymore. We're not taking those calls anymore.
What if just baseball, so you know. Like, excuse me. Yeah, this is Darryl again. I'm pretty sure the second baseman's stealing signs. The guy on second stealing signs right now. Can y'all look into this? Thanks. Click. That's the same thing in basketball. Excuse me. I just saw James Harden travel on a step back.
Can we check that out?
Sir, you can't keep calling us.
Well, you can't do that in golf either.
The only reason it worked in golf is because so few people watch are like, this guy really must be dedicated and locked in. So we got to believe him when he says
that. I saw someone put a towel down and put their knee on it so their pants wouldn't get wet. VJ Singh did it.
Oh, that's illegal. And
yeah, you're going to have to.
I don't know if you know that. That's illegal.
Because it really helped him. It helped him how? Well, he didn't get his pants wet.
He didn't get his pants wet.
Oh,
no. We're not going to do that, okay? We're not doing that. What we are doing is we're renting out our house right now. Yep. That's what we're doing. We're renting it out so that everybody can. So you can hold on to your asset and not have to give it away. Because when you sell your home now, especially if it had any water. Forget water. I mean, just selling your home right now. How long is it going to take? How many houses are for sale in your neighborhood that have been sitting there?
Right now, just on my side, there's two for sure that I know of that are in my very close. I don't even know about the other side of the street.
It's funny. We were driving through the neighborhood.
We have a neighborhood that usually rents fairly quickly.
And in our neighborhood, too, over here by the museum district, There are a ton of houses for sale, and they've been sitting there forever. Do you know how much money you're losing when your house sits on sale for sale for any amount of time? You're just losing, ching. You're just losing money. So how about renting it out? Let someone live there and pay off your mortgage.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's another thing. If you're worried about selling your house because people with, you know, may be concerned about floods or whatever, you know what? You know who will come and rent it, or who will come and get it? Renters.
Yeah.
Because renters say, hey, not our
house.
I
don't live there.
It's not our house. I'll go knock it out. I'm not going to go purchase it, but I will,
knock one out?
I will rent one.
Is that what he said?
So Richard Drake is your guy. That's your guy. If you're having trouble selling your home, stop doing that. Make a call immediately before you have to pay your next mortgage. Go to renterswarehouse.com. They'll get your house fixed up on the market. They'll find you renters. They'll warranty your renters. And then, most importantly, they will collect that rent from you and take care of any problems that arise. It's renterswarehouse.com, 713-224-RENT.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Astros got ripped off yesterday. That was another hit for Bregman taken away.
They had a chance to win with a two-hitter.
So what happens? This is a good question on Twitter. What happens if when that fan is being escorted out of the stadium, he rips off the Astros jersey and he has a Rockies t-shirt on underneath it?
Then he finessed the game.
No, there's no finesse in the
game. He got a team of potential a win.
You changed history.
Well,
you changed history.
What is Marty McFly? Is this
Back to the Future?
That's a Back to the Future episode.
No, it's not. It's Bartman. That dude should be Bartman by Astro fans.
Well.
Right? We need to find out who that fan was. Because, well, he's probably on weed because everybody up there is. And everybody, there's so many tweets. Lots of Houston, Texans have moved to Colorado because of weed. Lots of Houstonians own weed dispensaries in Colorado.
Why don't Coloradans, if that's what they're called, Coloradoans just own the dispensaries?
Because they're not as smart. Because they're stoned and they don't have the get up and go to start a business.
All right.
Maybe those fans that travel to Colorado to watch the Astros are weed smokers. I have nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. Lots of Houston transplants in Denver. Yeah, there are a lot of people with summer homes up there too. A lot of rich people. Those people have summer homes up there. Let's get Harry in here. He wants to talk about his Astros on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Harry?
Hey, this is Harry, not Harry.
Oh, what's going on? No, you're Harry now, so.
Well, if you saw me, I got big, thick beard, long hair, so it fits, so no problem. Hey, real quick, I didn't get the conversation yesterday when you're all talking about relievers and so forth like that, possible trades for the Astros, but did any one of y'all bring up the closer from, I think it's Pittsburgh, Vasquez, the left-handed.
We did not.
Good luck. Pittsburgh is buying now. They ain't selling. Pittsburgh is looking to add people because they've been on such a tear.
Stupid.
They're still with.
You're not doing anything, dummies.
Well, they're within like three games of the wild card.
I don't care. You'll fall apart. You can't beat the Dodgers.
Well, you can't. But
just
when
give up your players. Shut up and give it up.
Just give up all.
Give it up.
Yeah. I mean, because they've already. Traded all their best players over in the offseason. They traded away McCutcheon and so forth. And I forget the other outfielder that they had that they traded.
Apparently you haven't been watching Pirates baseball. They just lost for the first time in like 13 games.
Don't care. There's more coming.
Yeah. Pittsburgh
is where that came from.
Pittsburgh is right there. Pittsburgh is right there. Within wild card. Let's see. They're 3.5 games now out of the wild card. Yeah, so I don't know that they're giving up anything. Do you want to know the truth?
Yeah, it's a good thought. They'll give it up soon enough. Just need a little losing streak.
That's all they need.
Just need a little reality slap.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
All the other closers are gone.
They'll lose. They'll start to lose, and then they'll just trade their their closer to some team who doesn't really need a closer, just needs a setup guy, because we know Luno is like, I'm not sure about trading.
Let's get Richie on today and get his thoughts on why there's no, like, you think he'll be honest about Luno, or you think, what's Richard going to say about this no trade?
There's no chance he criticizes Jeff Luno.
You don't think so?
I mean, not after winning a World Series, no.
Well, maybe we're the fools. But I don't think we are the fools. I mean, I think it's very legitimate to say. I mean, you had Colin McHugh, who's not a closer, high leverage role. Let's get him on. Let's talk about that. Spectator interference as defined by Major League Baseball. In every case of spectator interference with a batted or thrown ball, the ball should be declared dead and the base runners can be placed where the umpire determines they would have been without the interference. When a spectator clearly prevents a fielder from catching a fly ball by reaching onto the field of play, the batter shall be ruled out. But no interference is called if a spectator comes in contact with a batted ball or thrown ball without reaching onto the field of play, even if a fielder might have caught the ball had the spectator not been
there. If it's
there.
In the stands, then then everybody's got a right.
But what they're saying is, but this is what it says, shall be declared dead and the base runners can be placed where the umpire determines they would have been without the interference.
Right. So, in other words, if you interfere and he would have had a triple, but if it was a Colorado fan that would have interfered, it would have given him a triple.
No. What they're saying is if the ball had already hit the ground and he was ruled safe and then someone reaches over, we could give him a triple. But since the ball is still in the air,
If that was a Colorado fan,
the rule says no matter what, he's out. Colorado fan.
No, it doesn't. It says it shall be
the base runner,
and the base runners can be placed where the umpire determines.
But if he declared a base runner when the ball is in flight,
that's not right, Del. You're not right.
Let me ask you a question. The rule. Declared a base runner when the ball's still in flight?
Well, let me ask you a question. Where would the ball have been without the interference? Without the interference, the umpire is determining that was an out, and that's Bregman's biggest beef. Is that's not an out. That's why he said, if that umpire thinks that jumping backwards into a wall is going to be an out, this is basically saying the umpire could have determined that had no impact on the play, and he would not have been out. Now you've got it. Now if you looked at the replay, clearly I don't see any way that guy makes the play. He was.
Oh,
not
really? Because Ken McDougal says, "Come on, man, Rocky was under the ball and would have caught it."
Why are you letting Ken McDougal, the Astros hater, tweet you?
Astros scheduled about to get tougher in August and September. Lies ahead.
I can't. This is why I muted him. This is always negative. Like, this World Series, I don't know about you guys. It was so hot outside for the championship celebration for the parade.
Well, it was hot.
This is a disaster. Ugh, look how late it is right now. The Astros win the World Series, great, but did they have to win it at 12:30 at night on the West? The Central Time
game five. Good Lord!
Oh my God!
What a terrible game!
It's a win,
the Astros
but still.
Okay, what about next year when they're okay? What are they going to do about this bullpen? Well, it's game five of the World Series. All right, okay.
We've got to do something about Bregman now.
Right. All right, 713-780-3776.
Honestly, Bregman's 100% of his beef is that the umpire determined that was an out if the fan wouldn't have reached his stubby little glove over, and it clearly was not going to be an out. And that's why he said he doesn't know baseball, because he wouldn't have known that you can't make that catch if you're jumping in back into a wall. That's why he gets all pissed off.
So the outfielder who does play baseball and said he was going to make the catch, does he not know baseball?
That guy's a liar.
He doesn't know anything about baseball.
The Rockies are in first place.
He's a left fielder. Does he play third?
But
no.
Bregman said the guy clearly doesn't know anything about baseball.
He does.
And he couldn't have played baseball because he said it was an out. The guy who actually played baseball said he would have caught the ball and he would have been out. So does that guy not know anything about baseball too?
Oh, you know what? Then why don't you go to the poker table and the guy who said,
why
I would
have
won this hand.
To poker?
I would have won this hand, but he did a motion forward with his chips and then I folded.
It's
and
not
then
the same.
I would have won, but I would have won the hand. Just ask me.
It's not the same.
Just
thing.
Ask. Were you holding? I play football and I can tell you I was not holding.
No.
I did not
Your
commit a hold.
Your poker analogy doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, that's why I switched to football.
That was terrible.
Basketball. Did you travel? I play basketball. I didn't travel.
Well, Bregman said he played baseball, so he knows the rule. It's the same thing, just on opposite sides.
You don't know nothing about it, Dell. It's baseball. We can't go by you. And oh, by the way, Jose said, JD said, Dell's wrong. He's not automatically out. Lance just read the statement. It's determined by the umpire.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Read it again.
You're
Twitter,
wrong.
And this guy knows because he played baseball.
I'm telling you, your own fans cannot cause the rule
does not say home or away fans. It doesn't say.
It's determined by the umpire whether or not where the runners will advance to.
But what you're pointing out is
you have to determine whether or not what was the intent of the fan. Was he
There's
to help his
team?
I don't think
There's
that's
nothing about
intent John.
In the rule.
You have to determine that. It
no,
was an Astro
you don't.
Fan. Wait a minute. Okay, let me ask you this, though. If that was a Rocky fan that reached
I
over.
I understand. It, your no,
wait
conspiracy
a minute.
Theory.
Would you let me finish? If that was a Rocky fan that reaches over and his player is reaching up and you don't know whether or not he's going to catch it, what is that umpire going to rule?
He has to rule that
Bregman is safe. He has to rule
Not according
that.
To no. the rule he just read.
Yes, he does.
No, there's nothing in there that says anything about a fan association.
There's nothing
or fan
there.
Fan affiliation. It doesn't say anything.
Well, the umpire will determine. No, I'm telling you.
It's just a determination of baseball. You can't try to judge it based on it was a determination that the guy would have made the catch. That's
so if that
Bregman
was a Rocky,
so,
so you're telling me if that's a Rocky fan and he reaches over and his player is reaching up and you're not sure whether or not they're going to call Bregman out?
That's
no
what the
chance.
Rule says.
No chance.
That's what
that
the rule says.
That would have been a hit. That would have been a hit. That would have put Bregman on second or third base.
Well according to the rule, they're not supposed to.
So what John's saying is, now that's a fair point that maybe they take liberties. It would be an unwritten rule, clearly. This is not in a rule book where it says, determination of fan affiliation must first be made, look at jersey, and then determine. Why does it look like Brandon Whedon is on TV there?
Because he should be.
I didn't know Scalabrine looks like Brandon Whedon
so much.
Well, he
lost some weight.
Maybe that's what it is.
No.
I just assumed he looked more like Rappaport. But
he does look like Rappaport.
It doesn't say anything about the fans. But what you are – that's why so many fans get mad at other fans for going Bartman. Or remember the one guy reached down and grabbed the ball, and his wife goes, you – an idiot.
Well, I was standing next to Reed Ryan when that happened, and Reed was right on the phone.
Did you just hear what he said? Yeah. Elite.
No.
That's an elitist.
Are you
commentary.
Surprised that he was standing next to Reed Ryan?
No. Well, Reed had to straighten that out because you know what you got to worry about in that case? That people are going to deluge that guy with fists. Okay. Hey, idiot. Don't touch the ball in play.
We're not going to.
Reed had said, we got to get him out of there. Don't kick him out of the park, but we got to get him out of there just in case. Just like Bartman. Are you kidding me? You know what happened to Bartman?
Get him out of there in case his wife embarrasses
him. Well,
no,
not in case his wife beats the snot out of him, which it should have happened.
His wife became a meme.
And she should have.
Well, that was just that wasn't the playoffs.
No, what? It doesn't matter. Look, you can't touch the ball.
Let's be clear. I don't know.
It could have affected.
I don't know that couple.
Yeah, they won that game.
I don't know that couple, but let's be clear. If your wife does that to you, you gotta go.
No, his wife had to go on Twitter just say, guys, just so you know, my husband does know baseball. Well, she had to go on Twitter and say, my husband knows baseball.
No, but if she reacts to you.
He's not as stupid as he acted that one day.
She's got to go.
No, he doesn't. All right, let's. You got to take. We got to take a break, and you got to talk about saving people money.
Curtis, we see you. We get Curtis on to talk about Lance McCullers. And then also, Kevin Durant. When is there not something going on with Kevin Durant and sensitivity and all kinds of stuff? So anyway, listen. So, Bill Advisor, I told you the story the last couple days about how Christina, a longtime listener, ended up saving over $3,000, which is phenomenal. I saw our first $4,000 savings this year. Brent S. saved over $4,000, and he saved on cell phone, home phone, insurance, energy. Like, across the board, they saved for him. For you, you can save on any number. They've got energy, cell phone, home phone, satellite cable, homeowners insurance, auto insurance. Just about anything that's a recurring monthly fee, they can help you with. They can try to renegotiate you and get you down. Now, obviously, satellite is one of one of the biggest culprits. And they can start to, if you remember when your rates used to be way lower and now you don't know how it happened, but it's so much higher than when you first got in. That means you don't have new customer rates anymore, and they can negotiate and get you those new customer rates. They can get you, in many cases, they can get you some credit back, and they get you credits on your bill. That's what they did for me for 4 full months. Make sure that you go with the experts at Bill Advisor and let them not only renegotiate your rates right now, but monitor your bills every single month to find out when your rates have increased so they can fight back and lower them again. Go to BillAdvisor.com or text GO to 232323. That's GO to 232323.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We got Richard Justice going to join us here in a second. In the meantime, let's get Curtis in here to talk some Astros baseball. What do you say, Curtis?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are y'all?
Cool.
How you doing?
Hey, are y'all going to be at Prime tomorrow?
No. Well,
all right.
Not scheduled.
I was a little low on bills. Oh. So
you mean after the show?
Yeah,
I didn't know if they were playing the tournament or hosting show there.
We're not broadcasting from there per se.
No, I won't be here tomorrow.
I actually think I might be in a turnaround though. My family's going out of town. So.
I wanted to talk about Lance McCullers and Colin McHugh switching roles. I've been watching Colin McHugh very closely. I was still kind of deliberating on him, like most people, because he's just Colin McHugh. He doesn't throw hard. But after watching him yesterday, and I thought he was in there for too long. He should have been taken out a little earlier. But before that home run, he was absolutely dominating. Like, he was just painting corners. And it kind of dawned on me, you know, if you're a starting pitcher, you need to have more pitches. You need to be more of a cerebral thinker, which I think Colin McHugh is. And then we're talking about a closer, and I look at Lance McCullers, which he really has two pitches. I mean, yeah, he's starting to throw a changeup more. Mm-hmm. But I just think that Lance McCullers would be so effective, not necessarily a closer, but maybe like an Andrew Miller type, coming out of the bullpen, maybe throwing one or two innings. I mean, we saw how he did against the Yankees in the playoffs when he came in. I mean, he absolutely dominated, and I just love his hothead mentality. I think, I don't know, what do you guys think about those two guys potentially switching roles? I think Colin deserves a starting role, and I think it'd be cool to see Lance in the bullpen. What do you guys think?
Well, so it's interesting you bring up McCullers in the bullpen, because when he was in studio with us, we brought it up, and he was adamant. He had no use
he didn't want to
be
do that.
A closer. No starter wants to be a closer ever.
And look, it's either it's feast or famine with Lance McCullers. Either he is unbelievably awesome or he gets lit up. So he's got about 4 starts this year that have been terrible. Otherwise, his ERA is right there with Cole and Verlander.
The whole idea of the quote-unquote hothead mentality, that's kind of what you – I mean, you're talking about he's got fire and all that stuff, but I think that's actually what A.J. Hinch doesn't want in a closer. I think he wants a level of consistent calm.
No.
People don't punch themselves in the face. Like Giles.
Let's get Richard Justice in here. MLB TV, MLB Network, Mr. MLB with us here on ESPN 97.5. We got some questions for him. What's going on, Lance? Richard, how are you?
What's going on, Lance?
Richard, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys this morning?
We are doing great. All right, what about that question, switching up McHugh and McCullers?
Switching McHugh and McCullers, no, that won't work. That won't happen. I mean, because a starter is much more valuable. I think the inconsistency, you're right, does bother them. And, you know, AJ's got tough decisions to make as he looks at the postseason rotation. I'm guessing he's going to go Verlander, Keuchel, Cole, Morton, and that would leave Lance in the bullpen. But that's just a guess. And I think you're going to play, given they did not get Zach Britton, you're going to have to play a mix and match game in the sixth inning anyway.
Yeah. And that's the main question, the reason we called. Everybody's adding bullpen help except the team that really needs bullpen help. What the hell is going on?
It's true. true, they would like to have the ninth inning locked down, but their bullpen ERA, I think, is the second best in baseball. So they've done a good job, and, you know, overall they've done a good job, just that you remember the flameouts so much, and because they're so costly. I mean, they've lost three or four games with, you know, that they're inexcusable, that they should have won. Here's the way they look at it. I think they still want to go get a reliever. And there are interesting guys out there, like Ryan Pressly of the Twins is a Charlie Morton type that they feel like high spin rates, you know, pitch usage and all, we could help him. Adam Connolly with the Marlins. I think they're going to still go get someone. You know, and should they have overpaid for Britton? That's the thing, you never know. You know, because Luno is obsessed with not getting to where the not letting happen to them what happened to the Royals and Cubs, in that you win one and then you find your farm system decimated. So there are just a number of guys in that system that he is not going to trade. And if that means losing Zach Britton, then he's going to lose him.
So yeah, well, I don't know if last year with the Peter Angelos debt thing where he nixed the Zach Britton at the last second, whether or not that affected him. But
yeah,
here's
the guy that he nixed it for is going to get some votes for National League Rookie of the Year, Colin Moran. I mean, he's having a real solid year for the hottest team in the National League, the Pirates.
How about that? So let me ask you this, though. Last year at the trade deadline, Luno picks up Francisco Liriano, and 15, he didn't do anything.
Right.
Obviously, he got Verlander, but that was, you know, at the very last second and well past the trade deadline. He is very hesitant for whatever reason and he really disappointed this team last year when he didn't go out and get any help at the trade deadline, and they went into the tank afterwards. What is the deal? Why he's got so much talent in the minor league system. He must be very difficult to deal with in that he won't give up minor league talent.
There are teams, the Dodgers are one, the Rays are one, the Astros, that they just have a certain value on things that they're not going to sway off that value. The Rays have had 50 chances to trade Chris Archer, and they just go, no, we're not going to give up something. And the way Luno looks at it, he has a big board in his office that he sees. When he built this thing, he said, look, we want to be able to contend for not a year, not 2 years. And this doesn't mean winning a World Series. This means being in position to make the playoffs in September. We want to be able to hold this thing together for a long time. And I think he just feels like in the farm system he's got some untouchable pieces. And, you know, so at the end of the day, if they get Britton, does that guarantee them anything? You think about it last year. They won 101 games. And look at what happened in the postseason. If Bregman doesn't homer off Sale in Game 4 of the Division Series, if they don't win two elimination games at home, and then if Marwin Gonzalez doesn't hit an 0-2 fastball over the center field wall off the best closer in baseball, you know, we're not talking, you know, we're not having a parade or anything like that. So I think it's, you just play the odds as much as you can. And he is cautious. He is cautious about giving up prospects.
See, they would have, in hindsight, if that deal doesn't get made for Verlander, you would, in hindsight now, you realize you would have regretted that.
Well, that was a weird day. At 11 o'clock that morning, Verlander is saying, nope, I'm going to the Cubs,
right,
or I'm not going anywhere. And finally, you know, his general manager called him and said, buddy, and this is what's happening with the Cubs right now. They don't have any players. They are tapped out in terms of players, and their farm system is not very good. I can't make a deal with them. It's Houston or nothing. And Luno could not get comfortable with the money, and he called Jim Crane and said, I can't do this. And Crane just told him, you make the deal, I'll worry about the money. And that's what it came down to. So, you know, for years and years and years, free agency and trades and all were partly about emotion. You know, I'm going to shut the talk show guys up, the columnists, the fans. I'm going to get everybody shut up. And this new wave of GMs, they are just different. I mean, they look at it in what the numbers tell them to do. You know, this is not related to that. But one of the things you're seeing now is we got to ban the shift. We got to stop players from putting the ball in the air because it's ruining the game. It's home run, strikeout, walk. you know, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. This is the way these guys have decided it's the best way to win baseball games. So, you know, part of this, I think, in terms of Luno, part of this is just an evolution of the sport we're seeing, you know, and where it's going to come out, who knows.
I got to say this, though. I don't have any problem with it. I'm a big fan of GMs doing what's best for teams and never going off of what fans or media members think. That's, you need to do what you feel is best. I do think it does appear, though, as John mentioned and alluded to, I think Jeff Luno is just a very hesitant GM. And, you know, it gets to a philosophical idea where you mentioned something about he wants to make sure that he has the ability for a long-term window to compete for whatever. But this is a window with Justin Verlander that's different. This is a dominant pitcher window with Cole and Verlander and young players under club control. This is a very special window that you don't want to throw away. Historic offensive performance last year was saved by Verlander coming into the fold. There's no Marwin has regressed to the mean. Mariznick has fallen apart. All these guys that you needed last year who had career years, that they're not having them this year. That happens. So you took advantage of it last year by adding Verlander. You've got a similar situation here with great starting pitching. This is a very special window that's open with Justin Verlander. Don't regret it in years past because you're worried about a window in 2021 where let's face it, there could be some real issues with salary at that time. Do it now when you get the chance because you're good at drafting and growing your own talent anyway. You shouldn't be as worried because you do a good job of building from within.
Right. Well, I just something just thought of me as you were saying that. Jeff would want me to point out how much talent has left the system. I see Milwaukee's talking a couple of trades right now, and all the guys in the deals are former Astros farm hands. They have sent to get Cole, to get Verlander, to get who did they make the trade with? Was Milwaukee
Fires
and who was the other?
And Carlos Gomez.
I mean, this is a point Jeff makes a lot. I think this is the thing he's most proud of is that we have shipped a ton of young talent out of here, and we still have a top five farm system. And I think he's proud of that. And I think you just go case by case. I know they really wanted Britton. I don't think they, you know, like, they've got the second highest score in offense in baseball. I think that's right. And they've allowed the second fewest runs or something. I mean, that's why their run differential is insane right now. And, you know, they're in a very good position to win. You know, beyond Britton, I think their concerns are we need to get Altuve, make sure Altuve's healthy. We need to make sure Correa is healthy because when he gets to the postseason, it's going to come down to who's healthy. Is Verlander rested? Is he pitching well? Is Cole, et cetera? And is Springer going good? You know, in a lot of ways, Springer's going to set the tone for the whole thing in that if he's in a good spot, they're going to be pretty much unbeatable. But, you know, who knows?
Okay. Okay, yes or no answers. Will they sign another deal with the Houston Astros? Keuchel.
You're asking me about just Keuchel?
No, yeah, Keuchel, will he?
No.
Morton?
Yes.
Springer?
I don't know on that one.
That's
hard one. My guess would be yes.
My guess is no. Correa. Well,
and I would want to know where Kyle Tucker's going to be. See, in Tucker and Whitley, they feel like they have two can't-miss guys.
Right. I've been saying I think it's so important that, first of all, have some patience with Tucker, but it's so important that he performs because
but
of
I
that.
See, you know, Jeff is a numbers guy, but I think what AJ and Jeff and Jim Crane, they all see Springer's more than numbers. I mean, he makes the thing go. He's the guy that when he was on the disabled list, AJ asked him to stay around and hang around with the team because running his mouth and getting on guys and all of that, a huge part of what they are in terms of environment. This is a thing that's so appealing to fans. People ask me all the time, said, are they really like that? I said, they're really like that, and it starts with George Springer. You lose him, you're going to lose a big part of what you are.
Yeah. No, that's true. That is. What about Correa? It's starting to get worrisome.
Well, yeah, a long time to worry on him. Was it 3 more years? Yeah. So let's see where he's at in 3 more years. He's the guy, you know, Bregman and Correa, you look at them and go, I mean, I don't know. You know, Altuve's going to go to the Hall of Fame, I think. But Bregman and Correa are two of the – you can watch the game a long time and not see two guys as good as that.
Yeah. All right, we got to break it there. Richard, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us. Richie from MLB.com and MLB Network. Thanks, Rich, and we will talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Okay.
All right, there's Richard Justice right here on ESPN 97.5. Why don't you talk about some people getting some testosterone in their body?
Let's talk about Men's Sea Clinic. If you're low in testosterone, that means your quality of life has dipped. And I remember when, I was just exhausted. It was the second year of me doing my NFL draft stuff. And so from like November to February is a huge grind for me. I may be working anywhere, minimum 60 hours a week. Maximum of like 80, and that includes radio and the draft work. And so I remember just being exhausted, and the guys from Men's Tea Clinic, hey, you want to come speak for our product? I said, yeah, tell me more about it. They said, hey, why don't we test you? We're listeners of your show, and I know that you have been real fatigued. I said, yeah, but I'm just working a lot of hours, not sleeping. They said, well, let's just test you and see. My numbers came up low, way lower than I expected, I guess. I mean, they're the ones who know this better than I do. But they said, look, that's not unusual. Let's go ahead, work with your insurance, get you treatment, and let's see what happens from a result of the treatment. They said the first thing you're going to see is a big boost and benefit in energy level. And that's exactly what I saw. Within 3 days, your energy level will spike in most cases, and you get so much more energy. And then comes the drive. You want to do more on the weekend. You want to start getting your workouts in. You start to notice changes in your body type. It's extremely beneficial, especially when you really work it and you go out there and you start taking advantage of this new energy and your ability to convert belly fat to lean muscle mass. Make sure that you give them a shot. If you feel like, you don't have that drive and determination you once did, if you just feel blah all the time, it could be low testosterone. 4 locations in Houston. They can all test you and see if treatment options are right for you. Pasadena, Pearland, Cypress, and the Heights. Go to MensTClinic.com.
I remembered each flash as time began to burn.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.